If one wife says the husband died, the other one says he did not, so the one who says he died may remarry and collect shechusuba, the other may not. If one wife says he died and another says he was killed, or Meir says since they contradict each other, they neither may remarry. Or Yehuda and Rishim say since they both agree that he's no longer alive, they can both remarry. So the Mishnah, if one witness says that he died and another says that he did not die, or if one woman says he died and another says he did not die, the wife may not remarry. The Mishnah seems to say that the co-wife may not remarry because she says the husband did not die. This suggests that if she had remained quiet, she would be allowed to remarry based on her Tzara's testimony. However, the previous Mishnah said that a woman may not remarry based on a Tzara's testimony. The Mishnah is teaching that even though the second wife says he did not die, she herself may not remarry. We would think that the only reason she says that he did not die is to make her Tzara an Aguna, even though she would also end up in Aguna. She doesn't care. She says, Thomas Nashli implished him. But so we would think that if she therefore then changes her testimony and says that he did die, she also should be allowed to remarry. The Mishnah teaches us she may not remarry even then because she said he didn't die. The Mishnah said, Achas Eimer is Meitz v'chulu. Why doesn't Rav Meir argue in the first case as well? Rav Elazar said that Rav Meir actually does argue in the first case as well. And the Mishnah states the view of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon in the first case. Rabbi Yochanan said even Rav Meir would agree that we do not believe the second woman in the first case because her testimony that he did not die is not considered a contradiction and the first woman therefore is believed. The Mishnah's last case says that when witnesses or women contradict, the wife may not remarry. According to Rabbi Yochanan, all should agree that we do not believe the second one and she should be allowed to remarry. Zok the Mishnah, if a woman went overseas with her husband and she returns and says that he died, she may remarry and get her ksuba, but her co-wife may not. The Tarfon says, even if the co-wife is a Israelis who married a Kohen, she may continue to eat truma. Rabbi Kiva says, although she can't remarry, she also would not be allowed to continue eating truma. Zok the Mishnah, if the woman says, my husband died and then my father-in-law died, she may remarry and get her ksuba, but her mother-in-law may not remarry. Rabbi Tarfon says, even if the mother-in-law is a Israelis who married a Kohen, she can continue eating truma. Again, Rabbi Kiva says, although she may not remarry, she may not continue eating truma. Zok the Gemara, the Mishnah had to give the machlekes in both cases, because if we just say the first case where the hatred between the women is based on physical suffering, we would say that over there the first wife's testimony is totally disregarded and the second wife may therefore continue eating truma. But in the case of the mother-in-law where the hatred is based on verbal suffering, maybe we believe her enough to prevent the mother-in-law from eating truma. That's what we had to learn. The Rav Tarfon allows her to eat truma even over there. For the same reason, if we'd only say the second case, we would think that only over there Rabbi Kiva says she may not eat truma. But in the first case, maybe he would agree with Rav Tarfon that she may continue eating truma. Therefore, both cases are necessary. Who the name of Shmuel passing like a Rav Tarfon. Zok the Mishnah, if a man gave kedushin to one of five women, doesn't remember which one he gave it to, and they all claim that they're the one who received the kedushin, Rabbi Tarfon says he has to give a get to each woman, and then he can place the ksuba among them and walk away. Rabbi Kiva says he has to give a ksuba to each woman. Next, Zok the Mishnah, if someone steals from one of five people, doesn't remember who he stole from, and they all claim that they're the one that he stole from, Rabbi Tarfon says he can leave the stolen object among them and walk away. Rabbi Kiva says he has to repay each and every one of them. The Mishnah gives the case of where he gave kedushin, but not where he had beer with one of them. Also, it gives the case of where he stole from one of them, but not where he bought something from one of them. Our Mishnah seems not to follow the Tanakhama or Rav Shimon Elazar of a Brice. The Brice says, Rav Shimon Elazar says, Rabbi Akiva and Rav Tarfon only argue when he did Kedushin of Bia, but if other Kedushin was given, they both agree that he leaves one Ksuba and walks away. Also, he says that they only argue when someone stole from one of five people and not when someone bought something from one of five people. This means that the Tanakhama, who he argues on, must hold that they even argue regarding regular Kedushin and regarding where they purchased from one of five people. If so, our Mishnah, which says that they argue by regular Kedushin and by stealing, follows neither view. Mar says the Mishnah follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and when it says Kedushin, it means Kedushin of Bia. Zok the Gemara, the case of Kedushin of Bia teaches that even though the Bia is only wrong on a rabbinic level, Rabbi Akiva still penalizes him that he has to repay each and every person. The case of stealing teaches that even though it's an Issur D'oraisa, which was done, stealing, still Rabbi Tarfon does not penalize the perpetrator. Zok the Mishnah, if a woman, her husband, and their child went overseas and she returns and says that her husband died and then afterwards her son died, she's believed. If she says that first her son died and then her husband died, she is not believed to marry her Yavam. However, we're concerned for what she said and therefore she has to get chalitza before remarrying. Zok the Mishnah, if a woman says that that she had a child with her husband overseas but says that the child died and then her husband died, she's believed to marry her Yavam because she left when she was without children. Her husband didn't have any children. If she says that her husband died and that then the child died, she's not believed and we require her to get chalitza. If a woman comes back from overseas and says that her mother-in-law had a son who would be her Yavam, but that her husband died and then the brother died, or if she says that the brother died and then the husband died, she's believed in both cases. Zok the Mishnah, if a woman, her husband and his brother went overseas and she comes back and says that my husband died and then his brother died, or she says that the brother died and then my husband died, she's not believed because a woman is not believed to say that her Yavam died and she's therefore allowed to marry someone else. And is also not believed to say that her sister died so that she may go and marry her sister's husband. A man is not believed to say that his brother died and that he can therefore go marry his wife, or to say that his wife has died so that he can now go and marry her sister.
Frag the Gemara, Rabbi Yisrael of Nachman,
If someone gives a get to his wife through a shliach in a situation where she stands to fall to yivam, do we say that since she hates her yavam and the get is therefore considered to be a good thing for her, and zach in the adam shleib befon of and the shliach is therefore kinder for her, or do we say that since women sometimes do like their yavam, so the get is considered to be a bad thing and therefore the shliach cannot be kinder for her because ain chav in the adam ela befon of? Rav Nachman said we see from our mission that some women like and some women hate their yavam, which is why she's not believed to make herself fall to yivam or to her to get out of yivam. Therefore, we would not know if the shliach was kinder for her and she must get chalitza, but we would not allow her to get yibam. Ravine asks Rava, if someone gives a get to a shliach in a situation where the couple's in a state of fighting, is it considered to be a good thing for her or not? Where so we find that Rish Lakish said people feel it's important to be married, and the woman still rather be married, even fighting, than not married at all. Hanalach perek ha'isha shalom.